Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Man Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masachet Menachot Daf Pei Hei Amud Aleph at the Mishnah towards the top of the Amud. Continuing with the description of the proper sources for the grains for Menachot. Ein Mevi'in Lom Beit HaZvalim V'Lom Beit HaShalachim V'Lom Beit HaIlan. And we're going to see this repeated in all three contexts of a grain, olive oil, and wines with slight variations. But you can't bring it from Beit HaZvalim, which means a field that needs to be fertilized. Beit HaShlachim is a field that needs to be irrigated. It's not fully rain-fed. Vom Beit HaIlan, a field that also has some trees growing in it. And the idea is that the trees either provide so much shade that the grain doesn't get enough sun, or else perhaps because the trees eat up a majority of the nutrients. In any case, we may be kasher, but b'diavad, if you brought it, it is valid. Kitzad Huo said, what's the proper way to get a good yield? Narash Shana Rishona, you plow and leave fallow the field the first year. The second year, you plant it 70 days before Pesach. We'll see some more details about this in the Gemara. Huo says, Solet Meruben, that gives you lots and lots of flour. Kitzad Bodek, how does the Gizbar check to make sure that there isn't dust in this grain that has to be sifted out? He puts his hand into the wheat. If dust comes out, he tells him to go back and re-sift it. And that would be the sifter with the very narrow, very small holes to get the dust out and leave the wheat on top. In any case, if it got wormy, then it's pasul. Okay, Ketzar Oset, Narashana Rishona, etc. Now, Ibayalu, the question is, what is this advice? Hechikamar, Narashana Rishona Rishnia Naravizora, does it mean you plow it the first year, then the second year plow it again and plant it? Odilma Narashana Rishona Rishnia Zora Balonara, or the second year perhaps you just plant it without plowing? Toshma, the Tanya, watch this bright, Rabbi Yossi, Avchite Krazayim Ukfar Achim Ilmales Vuchot Yushalayim Hayumavi'in Mehan. There were these two places that were evidently far from Yushalayim, but they had such good grain that if they were close to Shalim, that's where the Omer and Shtei Alachim would have been brought from. Because the Omer must be brought from south-facing fields. That seems to be the intent here. And have to be replowed for that purpose. The idea of southern exposure, is that's where the sun rises and that's where the sun sets. It takes a southerly arc. Ketzaro says, so what is really done? Narashana Rishana Ushnia Choresh Vishone. The first year you plow it and let it fallow. The second year you plow it and replow it. And then 70 days before Pesach you plant it, like our Mishnah. Kneshi Smucha Lachama. Now we find out why, so that it will be near the sunny season when it's growing. What the result is you end up with a stalk that's one ring finger's width in width. V'shibolet zratayim, and the grain flour itself is two zratim wide. That's very wide. Sometimes you get a good yield for this. V'kotzer ma'amer v'dash v'zorev v'orev v'tochen v'arkeid. All the processes from cutting all the way to sifting. Mevi eitzel gizbar, and then you bring it to the gizbar. Gizbar machnis yadol tochad, and he sticks his hand into the flour. If dust comes out, he'll tell you to go back and re-sift. He had a different understanding of the tradition, which goes back at least 50 years before him, to when there was a bayit. That is that the gizbar anoints his hand. He fills his hand with oil and sticks it in, and it just attracts all of the avak. You don't have to re-sift it. That's the way of getting it out. But Ktani Miat, the point of this is that it said Choresh V'Shoneh. The second year, you not only plow, which was our question, you plow two times. V'tamech Manitin Lo Ktani Shoneh. Remember, our Mishnah never mentioned a second plowing. So, Breita Ktani Shoneh. So that means that this Breita doesn't seem to be addressing the same thing or is more detailed. So, Halokasha. Kan Ba'avuda, Kan V'Shena Avuda. Very simple solution is, if the field is a field that has already been worked over and has been weeded, etc., then there's no need to replow it the second year, certainly not a second time. But if not, then you have to replow it a second time. So my Havi Allah, what's the result here? What's the final conclusion? Toshma. Tanya nir chetzia v'zorea chetzia. You leave half foul, you rotate the crops and plant half. Nir chetzia v'zorea chetzia, then switch off. And we'll hear more about this this half in a minute. They have to be suddenly facing fields in Eretz Yisrael. That's where the sun rises and sets. It's a certain particular place. This is not like the Mishnah that says where that it came from particular other places, but it was about Gimel Se'in. It was a suddenly facing field. They would lay half fallow and plant half, and then switch off. There's several ways to understand this. One would be that he lived in the times of the Mikdash, and he had a little corner of the field. Even though it was small, he would do half and half. And it produced twice as much as it should have. Which means, by the way, if he's living half fallow, he was giving an entire field's worth of yield in half a field. And he was able to sell this wheat for flour. Now, the one way to understand that is that this was during the times of the Mikdash. He was able to sell it for menachot. The other way is to indicate that Rav Chilkiah Bar Tuvi, which indicated by the title that he may have been a Bavli, and it's just pointing out that he was able to sell his wheat at a very high price because it was very, very, yielded a lot. Okay, in the end of the Mishnah says, Vimit Leah Psula, if it got wormy. Tanur Rabbanan, Solet Shilia Ruba Psula. If the Solet has a majority wormy, then it's Pasul. V'chitin Shilia Ruban Psulot. The same thing about wheat before it's milled. Do you look at a majority of the wheat kernels or a majority of the seah? We're going to see this question asked three times here. First time is by Rava, and it's based upon a sugya in Masechet Tumah Davav Amud Bet that indicates that there is a lotase against being makdish bal mum. So if you take an animal that you know has a blemish and you makdish it, you get makot for that. Rava asked, what happens if you take this wormy wheat and you makdish it? And the sides of the question are, kev and the pasul ke bal mum dami. Since it's invalid, it's like a bal mum. And you shall, okay, maybe bal mum only applies to animals. Take no resolution. So we'll see this again in a minute. Tanan hatam. This is a mishnah in Masechet Midot. Kol etch nimtzabo tolat pasul gabay mizbech. Any worm word that's wormy is pasul for the maracha. Amar Shmuel, Oshanu Elalach, that's only if it's moist wood. Aval Yavesh, but if it's dry, you go Rav Kasher, you can just pull it out, and it's okay. So, Ba'i Rava, here it's Rava who asked the question. Hikdisho, Maushil Ke'alav, Shum Balmum, Vasubu Amum Dami, Odomo Yen Balmum Elam Hema, and the same question is answered with the same teiku. Okay, the next Mishnah takes us to oil. And we find out the Tkoa Alfa Lashemen. Now, the question is this Tkoa in the north, or Tkoa of Amos Hanavi? In any case, whatever it was, is the best place for shemen, the aleph, the A level, of oil. Abba Shaul Omer Shnia La Regev Be'Evar Yaden. Abba Shaul says that there was a place that had the second level, the second level standard was a place called Regev on the other side of the Yarden. And again, in Vin Lom Beit Hazvalim Lom Beit Hashlachim. Here, instead of an orchard, because now we're talking about olive trees, but rather, if it's an olive grove that has vegetables planted between the olive trees. And again, just like we had with the grain. Anpiktanan is unripe olives. If they would take olive seeds and soak them in water and get some oil out of them. Velominakvashim, or from pickled olives, lomina shlukim, or boiled olives, mevi pasul, those are invalid. Okay, a little bit about tkoa. This tkoa seems to be the tkoa that is near Beit Lechem for the place of Amos HaNavi. Yoav sent for the wise woman from tkoa to pretend that her one son had killed the other son and bring the case to David to try to get David ultimately to loosen his anger and his rejection of Avshalom. That was Yoav's plan. Since they have so much Shemen Zayit there, therefore they're very wise. And the Shemen Zayit adds to wisdom somehow. It's brain food. Tana Rabbanan, in the bracha that Moshe gives to Shevet Asher, it says, V'tovel b'shemen raglo. He dips his feet in Shemen. There's oil there like a spring. Amrus, they tell a great story. They play Ludkia as a town that's up on the north Syrian coast, which is in the northern part of Asher's territory. And they needed oil. Minulan, and they're very wealthy. Minulan pomustu sacha, they got a non-Jewish mercenary. And they amrulo lechva velan shem meyar ribo. They gave him a million manet and said, go buy shemen for this amount. Halachlu shalim, went to shalim, amrulo lech letzori. They said, go back to Tzor. Tzor, of course, is right near them. It's on the way, shall we say, back to their hometown. Halach letzor, amrulo lech legush chalav. Told them to go to the Galil ha'elyon to gush chalav. Go to this guy's field. And this particular guy. He found this guy making trenches around his own trees. So he looked like a worker. Do you have this oil for me? Let me finish my work, and I'll get it for you. This fellow, who evidently owned the field and obviously was very, very wealthy, nonetheless, when he was done, he put his vessels over his back, and he started walking. And as he was walking, he was turning stones over to get them out of the way. He asked him again. The guy starts finally thinking that the Jews have made fun of him and set him on a fool's errand here. But they got back to this guy's town, I guess in Gush Chalav. The maidservant of this fellow who was working out in the field brought out some hot water, and this guy washed his hands and his feet. She brought out a golden cup, maleah shemen, with oil. He dipped his feet and his hands in it. As the pasuk says, they had the meal. He gave him all the shemen this guy wanted. So the fellow said, this owner said, do you need any more? I need more. I don't have any money. Marlo imatarot sadei kach kach. You want to take money? Alechi machve told Amav, I'll come with you back to Ludkia and I'll get the money from them. Madalo shemen b'shmona saribo. So he took another 180,000 worth. Amru lohiniach oto ha'ish lo sus v'lo pered v'lo gamav v'lo chamor be'eretz Yisrael shelo scharo. Every animal of cargo was hired by this guy to carry all this oil to Ludkia. Once they got there, the people came out to praise him. Don't praise me, said the agent. Say, praise this guy. This is the guy you want to praise. He gave me all the oil you wanted, plus more, and you owe him the money. There's somebody who is wealthy and has nothing left, and somebody who's poor and has a lot of wealth. And the way that we read it is that people will behave like very wealthy people, sitting back, letting other people do the work, and in the meantime, they don't have any money. And this guy looks like a poor man working his own field and turning stones over, and in the meantime, he has great wealth. It's a beautiful story. Okay, Ein Mevi'in Lo Mitas Valim, etc. Batanya, Ein Mevi'in Ampiktan. The Mishnah said that you can't bring this Anpiknan v'mevi pasul. Our Mishnah said v'mevi kasher. And here it says v'mevi pasul. Neshu saraf. Anpiknan, this unripe olive, is not even oil. It's just like olive juice. V'yosef lo kasha. That's easy to resolve. Har b'chia b'shem rabbi. B'chia, rabbi's student, and Rabbi Shimon, who's Rabbi's son, had two different attitudes towards this kind of unripe olive and its oil. He used to throw it out. He would use it. The way to remember it is the wealthy are miserly. So Shimon, who is of course wealthy, being Rebbe's son, would keep this oil. So therefore he would regard it as real oil. So he must have been the author of the Mishnah that says that imevi kasher. And in the meantime, Rebbe Chia would be the author of the version of the Mishnah that says imevi pasul, because he regards it not as oil at all. Okay, Shishachor Hashim Yishavan Amor, this famous pasuk in Megillat Esther that says that all the girls in the preparation for the night with Achashverosh would have 6 months of myrrh oil treatment. My Shavan Amor, what's that? Avuna Bachia Amar Satachta. That's a certain name. Yirmi Baram Amar Shemen Zayit Shalavishlish. It's basically on Piknan, which is oil from olives that have not yet grown a third. Tanya, Bihur Omer, on Piknon, Shemen Zayit Shalavishlish. That's what it is. Lama Sachinoto, so why do they put it on the skin? Shemeshirata Seyar, it's a depilatory, umadena tavasar, makes the skin look nice. Okay. Ein mevin min hagar gerin shenishru b'mayim. The end of the Mishnah said you can't use these seeds that are soaked in water or pickled or boiled. Olives. Tanu rabbanan shemen zayit kavush shaluk. We had those already. Sharui. Those are the three we had. Shel shmarim dregs v'shel reach rar. That smells foul. Lo yavi. You can't bring vi pasul. Those are all pasul, like our Mishnah said. All we added really was the shmarim and the reach rar. Boy Rava. Now Rava asked the same question that Rabbi Yirmiya asked and that Rava asked, which is Iktishu. If you did sanctify one of these foul, invalid oils, which won't be a valid hektesh, are you loka for balmum? Kevin pasul kabalmum dami. Since it's invalid, regarded like a balmum, odilma ain balmum elabahima. It has to be an animal. The answer is, again, like we had the first two times, teku, and that is how it is left. Okay, we'll leave it at this point. We'll pick it up in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.